always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
You know when I went to a Spurs game, or an Austin Spurs game?
I did. It was a princess game. So they had because it was like the first game after Girl Dad Day or whatever it is.
Okay. Yeah.
And so all the kids, all the little girls who went to the game, they all dressed up as princesses, and they had like Disney princesses stationed around arena. So Avery got to meet like Moana and Elsa and Anna and all characters you don't know who they are,
I've heard of Elsa. She's the frozen girl.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moana, I don't know. Who's Moana?
Moana. That's the Midwest Moana. She controls the Mississippi River.
All right. The problem is I can't tell if this is real or not. I have no idea. So I'm just going to have to believe you.
All right. Let's go ahead and dive on into the super comments here that we have. And again, Alex, make sure you hit me, whether it's in Discord or wherever. Please don't be shy. Send me a note, so that I can Venmo you that back. And maybe with interest. It depends on Raj's level of commitment here. But Justin Tindall writes, biggest surprise to me is the turnaround on defense. In the defense, never saw it coming. Rockets 35 points in the second half. In the wildest dreams, never in my wildest dreams thought we could hold Houston to 92. That was something that Luka talked about in his walk-off on Peacock today, saying that like holding Houston to 92 points is a pretty big accomplishment. I think Ime is helping hold his teams to fewer points than he probably should be scoring. But I do think, like as we kind of talked about earlier in the show, Raj, like when your stars defend, that becomes the expectation. And I'm just going to say it, like earlier this year, there would be games where LeBron wasn't defending the way that he needed to, where Luka wasn't defending the way that he needed to. I think Austin for the most part has been pretty consistent on that front. For those two guys, when they set a tone, I think the Lakers for the most part have followed suit, and tonight was no exception.
This went under the radar a little bit. You mentioned Luka and LeBron, which I think you're correct. But after the Denver win, JJ Redick mentioned that he went to Austin. He's like, hey, the game last time in Denver, you weren't physical enough on both ends. And I thought that stood out. I thought that was important. He said, you know, and I don't think it's for a lack of effort and all that. But you could tell Austin's physicality has jumped another level against these teams as well, at least in this six-game win streak that you've seen. So, I'm with you. It's been top-down. Again, winning is going to continue to kind of extend this type of effort throughout the games. But it's been cool to watch the team come together on that end, because I think they were playing like a bottom 20 defense for a while, right? And I was like, man, can this team defend at all? Can they defend against good teams, right? And so now that they've kind of built some rhythm, I think they're top like 12 defense in the last, you know, since the All-Star break, whatever it is. They've been trending in the right direction.
All year my hope has been, hey, be mediocre defensively and be elite offensively, right? And I still think the Lakers can get to elite offensively. They aren't there yet, but I think they can get there, especially in the half court. On defense, though, they are nearing above average, which would be ahead of schedule. And if they can get to above average defensively and like really good offensively, now we're cooking with lighter fluid. Machu asks, can you explain the bleeping point of the 2-minute report other than creating unnecessary drama? To me, it's a black eye on the league. Refs must hate it. So the point of it is transparency, right? Like the league wants to make it seem as if it is holding its referees accountable and all of that good stuff. Also, I think Adam Silver sometimes comes from the Jerry Jones school of like, if people are talking about your league, that is a good thing. And when you release a 2-minute report that doesn't change the outcome, doesn't change the way that the referees are going to referee from here on out, it just continues a conversation about that game. I think Adam Silver considers that a net positive. But for the most part, I really kind of agree. It's a really dumb thing that they do.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
I laughed the other day, Raj, because they said that Spencer Jones stripped Austin clean on a 3-pointer that, you know, whatever, on a play that he was trying to foul. Like, yes, he made contact on Austin's hand while it was attached to the ball, but he was trying to foul with his right arm on Austin's jersey. Like, he was trying to foul. They were trying to take an intentional foul there. It was crazy.
What I was thinking about was, imagine how chaotic our lives would be if the 2-minute report actually could change results. Like, imagine how chaotic everything would be if you were like, oh man, we won, but gotta wait to see the 2-minute report tomorrow. And like, that actually impacted results. I'm with, like, to me, if it's that, then yes, this matters. But I just, again, I'm with the comment here. I just don't understand the point of it. All it does is rile up one fan base. It creates a grievance against that refereeing crew for no, like, refs miss calls. That's just a part of basketball. Yeah. I'm on the extreme other end. I want to get rid of reviews. I don't like any of these challenges. I don't like how it's messed up the fourth quarter rhythm of basketball. That's a conversation for another day. These two minute kind of reports are kind of in that pool to me of like, what are we doing here? Like, the game's done. It's it's in the record books. We move on.
I actually really liked, Raj, in this game that both teams lost their challenge
early
going into the last 5 minutes of the game. It's like, man, this is actually going to feel like this is going to be a good basketball game down the stretch of it, right? This is actually, it's not going to be broken up, because there is nothing worse than when two teams hold all of their timeouts, both of their challenges, and it's close down the stretch, and 2 minutes turns into a half hour of, you know, timeout, challenge, and everybody's just sitting there like,
that's what made the Denver game so beautiful, was that both teams kind of like were panic and used their timeouts really early to where down the stretch, that was real tension every single possession, because you didn't really have a lot of time to think or like mull over a play. It was just right away, back to back. Aaron Gordon hits this step back three that just kills the mood right in the building. Just all the energy,
God, dude.
All the energy taken out. And then the next play, Marcus Smart hits a three, and it's like, you don't even have time to process what went on. That was just beautiful basketball, and I think we've lost some of that with just we got to get the call right every time. Like, yes, I understand that, but there's also something there's a trade-off in terms of the rhythm of a game. But I'm with this. Let's get rid of these 2-minute reports. It does nothing but harm, you know, harm the person that lost, and he can't change the result. So it really has
not harm, but piss off.
Yes, it harms the conversation
person.
Yes.
Yeah, it just makes you angry. It's like, thanks. I knew you blew the call. I saw it live. Like, it's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I've never seen a 2-minute report come out and be like, actually, we did, you know, according to the views that we have, we thought that was a right call. I've never seen a fan base be like, good point.
We needed that extra information of a game that ended 24 hours ago. I was waiting for that.
Yeah. Oh, you don't say, referees. You think you made the right call here, huh? Like, all right. Next one here comes from Lakers Sean 2046. I was scared when Smart went down and the game was close. That seemed like a playoff problem. It wouldn't surprise me if Smart doesn't play tomorrow. Wednesday. He was holding his hip at one point in this game after he took a charge. And I said it in our Slack after the game. On that one play, he like yelled, and I think this is what Laker Sean is kind of talking about here. He like yelled and was holding like upper calf, lower knee kind of area. And I was like, all right, well, he's not grabbing it as Achilles. I don't think it's that, but it was a really loud yell, and he was legitimately like limping really hard. And then his next three that he took, remember, he airballed it, which I was like, oh, boy. All right. And I thought they were going to sub him out. He comes out and he actually hits a huge three-pointer.
He's been awesome. I've like, it's fine. I just want to give him his flowers on. He's a guy that, you know, he's been kind of not kicked out, but kind of, all right, we're done with the Marcus Smart experience, right? Like Boston's like, hey, we're done now with it. Memphis is this was not for us. Washington's like, yeah, this didn't really work out. He's been just an awesome guy to talk to, you know, in terms of after games, very insightful, very in depth in terms of the answers he gives you. And a guy that just plays hard every night, like he leads the league in charges. And I just think he's been super impactful on this team. So yeah, it would have been, you know, been terrible if he went down. I'm with you. There might be some rest games coming up for him, depending on how the standings shake out, but just a guy that you want your team to go to war with. And you could tell he's probably healthier than he's ever been the last few years of his career. A guy I just trust. I texted, you know, Sabrina this. I was like, I trust him when he's wide open to shoot. And then, you know, she kind of went back like, hey, he hit that big shot tonight. It's like, yeah, I just, when he's wide open to shoot, I kind of trust that he has a good enough form. Now, you don't want that to be kind of what your offense revolves around, but I trust that he's not scared in those moments. And I think that's important. Like, he's a guy that will step up to take the open shot if it's there. And a guy you just want in your closing five and has now kind of earned the starting spot as well.
Yeah, I was going to correct you and say, like, I don't trust that the ball is going in, but I certainly trust that he's not afraid to take the shot.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes, like, I remember, I'll never forget this when I was a kid. Lakers played against the Kings in one of their series against each other. And down the stretch of one of the games, the ball kept finding Doug Christie. And every time he was open from three, you could just tell he was just like, fuck.
Yeah.
And it was just like these ugly aimed short arm threes that he was wide open on. And I remember Dad and I were just like, keep shooting, Doug. You got this, bud. You know, keep leaving him open. He doesn't want it. And what I will say about Marcus, even though I don't necessarily think that they're going in, I at least trust that he's like not afraid of the moment, not afraid of like, you know, I have to take this shot, you know, and that's something I am genuinely worried about with Jake, that the ball is going to rotate over to him and he's going to have to take one of these three pointers. And I, you know, I don't remember the last time he took a three pointer.
He's passed up a few. Marcus has also been in a bajillion big games, right? Like he's been in every situation, a million closing close games, right? He's been on great teams where he's relied on, you know, heavily as an offensive playmaker. I trust him in those moments to not only be not scared of it, to be able to read the play and read the situation. There was a play tonight where it was getting close. He's like, oh, okay, it's actually my job to run the offense here. Like, they're ball denying Luka. They're ball denying Austin. LeBron's fighting in the post. Like, it's my job to run the offense on this possession. He did that, got the ball to LeBron in the post. I forgot where the offense went. I think someone got fouled. But, I just think those little things of, like, yeah, I have enough ball handling in my game where I can take over here a little bit. Not totally, but I can run the offense smoothly, and you don't have to worry about me losing the ball or, you know, being it, the moment being too big. I think he's been
well. He's awesome. Also usually guarded by like the other team's third best perimeter defender. So like, it is nice having a guy who can handle the ball well enough to like get LeBron the ball in the ball in the post, you know. And because on that play that you're thinking about, they ran that like pick and roll that they're run sometimes to get LeBron the ball in the post, and then they ran that fade screen to Austin to shoot. He shot like a deepish three off of that action. And yeah, like those are the things that Marcus and like his just not being afraid of like, all right, I have to dribble here, you know?
Yeah.
Like I keep on picking on Jake. I don't mean to pick on Jake, but like there was a play where Jake had a dribble on on the left side of the court. Yeah,
had a tough
time.
The
whole time he was dribbling, he was like, hey man.
It was against. They were ball pressuring full court. I think only Luka was on the floor, so it was kind of a Luka only lineup. And then right away, JJ is like, I gotta get Austin in this game. Really quickly on Smart, Denver, they put Jokic on Smart, right? And they're like, all right, like this is our defense. Like the ball has to go to Marcus Smart. And again, you don't want this all the time, but I love that Marcus is like, no, like you don't get to do that to me. I'm gonna screen for Luka and I'm gonna shoot this. Now, he's not going to hit the amount of threes he did against in Denver every night, but I like that mentality of no, like you're not going to disrespect me on the floor. Like I work too much. Like I've had too much success in this league for you to disrespect me as an offensive player. I think that's important against teams like Denver, against Houston, these top Western teams where you are the weakest link is important. And he's the weakest offensive link in that unit. And that guy needs to be a MF-er on the floor. And I think Marcus Smart is.
I mean, that's how it starts for a lot of 3-and-D guys, right? Like they get left open often enough that like eventually they're just D and then eventually they become 3-and-D guys. Like Aaron Gordon, I think, is the one of the better examples of this where he's like, leave him open. And then eventually it's like, shit, cover him. Oh, he's hitting step backs. Against the Lakers, like pierced my soul.
He was like, he left Earth. I felt like he was just on another planet. Everything he put up felt like he was going in. He was hitting jab step threes through the legs, double step back. It's like Giannis having a Steph Curry jumper. It was just the weirdest thing to watch live. This dude is, you know, it's just like, what is going on? And so it felt like he was about to steal. He was about to steal that one for Denver. But Marcus Smart's been really good.
All right, final one here from Machu asking or saying that he agrees with Raj. Reviews and challenges are out of control. It screws up the flow of the game. The only benefit I see is getting the players a little bit of rest. What I will say is I don't want to do completely away with reviews. I do think they should have a shot clock. I do think they should only have however many seconds, and after like 10 seconds or so, you have to arrive at some kind of a conclusion. But the other thing too about it is like every so often, so they have this thing, Raj, in the NFL where, like they go, like they it's like Secaucus is where, their review system is.
Right. The head center. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like they'll basically like throw to them on a very obvious call, and they'll be like, no, like there's no need for a big lengthy review here. Like there's no even need to stop the game. That guy dropped the ball, or that guy fumbled, or that guy did this. And that's something I think the NBA really needs to work into its repertoire. Now I know that Adam Silver is so like revenue focused that every review is an opportunity to throw to commercials. And I think that is a bit of a factor here too, but like just for the sake of the flow of the game, there should be some moments, and like we see these over the course of the game too, where it's like, God, it really sucks that the team has to waste its challenge on this call, right?
Yeah.
On those ones, like that, you should just be able to throw to wherever the one is, and it's in New Jersey, I think.
Yeah, it's in Chicago.
The NBA, the NBA's, you know, review center is. Like you should be able to just throw to that. They should be able to call in and be like, no, actually, like that was out on so-and-so. Like the play that kind of comes to mind in this one was the play where Kevin Durant stepped on the half court line.
Oh, right.
Like had they missed that call, you know, and the ball stopped or something like that, that would be a spot where the review center calls in and be like, actually, no, KD like stepped out. Like,
yeah,
everything that happened after that shouldn't matter. If something like that was put into place, I'd be fine with it. But I don't like the way that it's set up right now, where every time it's a review, it is unlimited time and you'll have like these minutes, plural, long reviews in the middle of like the most dramatic parts of a basketball game that takes everybody out of it. And you could see it like live on TV. As soon as they go to review, everybody in the arena pulls out their phones and they're just like, you know, standing there waiting. And it takes like two or three possessions to get everybody back to the level that, you know, that the arena was at before they went to review. It doesn't really help anybody.
It's not a good fan experience. And I'd love to know the amount of reviews that really don't lead to anything, right? A lot of times coaches win the challenge and they come out and turn the ball over, or, you know, it's just like, to me, it just is not leading to productive impact on the floor. And every point does matter in the grand scheme of things, but the amount of coaches that use their challenge in the first quarter on an out of bounds play and then lose it, it's like, all right, well, what was the point of that? We just wasted this whole time on it. I don't know. I think it's done more harm than good. I understand the point of it. I understand refs being able to review whatever they want after 2 minutes. Like, I get the idea behind that. I just think it kills the offensive flow of a game. I don't think it's going away. I think we shouldn't add more, though. I see some people say, well, if you win your challenge, you should get unlimited challenges. No, I disagree with that. I don't like that.
Yeah, not unlimited. But I'd be more fine with it if they just said, all right, a coach's challenge takes 15 seconds.
Tops. Right. Put a 24-second shot clock. If you can't decide in 24 seconds, you go with the call on the floor and we move on.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. I said last one a second ago, JJ Redick Muse is calling me out directly. Anthony, apologize. You said you wanted Rob and JJ gone. Rob was fantastic getting Marcus Smart and Ayton, and JJ has been amazing. We are the 3 seed playing elite defense. Anthony, apologize ASAP. No, I will not do those things because I still need to see JJ in the playoffs. And if Rob would have used a first rounder on another rotation level or starter level player, the Lakers could potentially be in that conversation with the like Thunder and Spurs. And if the better that the Lakers look this year, the more annoyed I'm going to be that they punted on this season. So
yeah.
I'll be willing to potentially apologize to JJ. I don't think there's a world where I apologize to Rob.
Yeah. Again, I think punted is so black or white in terms of the connotation around that. Obviously there's players you probably could have gotten with the first round pick. I'm of the opinion none of those players get you to San Antonio OKC, at least on paper, right? In terms of, all right, this player now catapults you into that. I've liked the Luke Kennard addition. And these answers won't come until the playoffs, right? They're just, these are all stuff that's going to be have to prove in once the games matter in the playoffs. So no one's going to have these answers in the middle of March. So we'll see.
All right, everybody. Thank you everybody for tuning in. Thank you to Raj for hanging on with us for as long as he did. For some reason, Raj episodes are just longer. So sorry, Raj. Again, one more time, Alex, hit me in my DMs. You know what? I'll open my DMs on Twitter for the next 12 hours.
Uh-oh.
Hit me on Twitter and tell me you're at and send me your Venmo and I will send you back your money with interest. And until tomorrow. So Harrison and I are recording tomorrow. Then Raj and I believe will be back on
Wednesday.
And then Thursday, is it a back-to-back?
No. They play a back-to-back on the weekend, I believe.
Yeah, it's like Friday, Saturday. So they have Thursday off.
Saturday, Sunday.
So that'll be the mailbag day. Friday will be with Pete. And that'll take us through the rest of the week. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Raj Tripalu. Have a great rest of your nights. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.